Of bleak Nam Chereas, as the shuttle angled away from the star destroyer. The system's sun providing barely enough light to illuminate the planet, let alone warm it to human standards. Tarkin turned inward to consider the commander's remarks. Capital ships redeploying from bases as distant as Centauri's and Lentilles, all because of the carrion spike. He trusted that naval command knew better than to disperse the fleet too thinly, though there was no denying that the shipjackers had once again taken everyone by surprise. That might not have been the case if Coruscant had placed Lukaszek on alert, but no one, including Tarkin, had given much thought to the possibility that the dissidents would target a lightly defended Tagco mining concern. Entering the star system with an altered transponder signature but transmitting authentic Imperial codes, the carrion spike had opened fire on both the orbital facility and groundside operations before Lukaszek could react. Jova would have applauded the shipjackers' tactics, the idea of masking oneself in the scent of one's enemy. He could still summon the odors of musky excretions he had been forced to smear over himself during hunts or surveillance exercises on the plateau. The rodent Jova had struck with the airspeeder one night had only been the beginning. After that had come the dizzying, often nauseating scents of sly vulpines, antlered ruminants, squat felines. But in countless situations, the excretions had given them the upper hand, allowing them to kill or infiltrate as needed. Except at the spike. But of course, that wasn't the idea. At Lukaszek, the shipjackers hadn't even bothered to activate the carrion spike's stealth systems until they had reached their target. They were experimenting, perhaps in preparation for their next attack. Deflector shields had protected the mining facility for a time, but its fate had been sealed. The destruction and casualties the ship had left in her wake were consistent with what she had wrought at Galadran. When the shipjacker's holonet transmission had been received by the Liberator, Tarkin had tried to convince himself that it was another counterfeit, that the holovid had been cobbled together from wartime news feeds and created images, as had been the case at Sentinel and on Mercana. In his eagerness to prove himself correct, and to the bewilderment of some of the Liberator's petty officers, he had practically placed himself inside the blue holo field, searching for evidence of corruption that would have identified the feed as fake. But he found no such signs. It had taken some time to disabuse himself of the notion that the shipjackers were deliberately provoking him, and to accept that they were merely making use of the carrion spike's sophisticated communication suite to call attention to their agenda, as Count Dooku had managed to do early on in the Clone Wars. And like Dooku, the shipjackers had succeeded in broadcasting the Lukaszek holovid live over civilian holonet frequencies to thousands of outer and mid-rim star systems before Coruscant was able to shut down vast portions of the communications grid. Still, the damage had been done. According to the latest reports from naval intelligence, the shipjackers were already attracting media attention in some of the outer systems, and certain members of the ruling council were worried about blowback. The disaffected factions might begin to think that the Empire was vulnerable, and that imitators would spring up, convinced that they, too, could make themselves heard far and wide. Tarkin had also learned that the contentious debate between Imperial security and naval intelligence on how best to proceed had yet to subside, especially with the carrion spike on the loose once more, hiding in hyperspace, or lurking in some remote or unpopulated star system. It appeared, however, that Vice Admirals Rancid and Screed were currently the gears getting the most grease, as the Admiralty had been granted permission by the Emperor to deploy forces to unprotected worlds along the Polemian trade route and the Hydean Way. That, in any case, was how the Goliath came to be at Nam Chereas, and apparently why the Liberator had been deemed needed at Ord Cestus. No sooner had the support carrier arrived than Vader had had himself ferried aboard, as it had brought from Coruscant his personal starfighter. Tarkin had been busy since he and Vader had parted company, speaking with Commander Kissel at Sentinel Base, with intelligence assets on Mercana, and with the commanders of Imperial posts throughout the sector, and as well with Wolf Yularen, who had his hands full keeping the peace among the intelligence agencies. Tarkin had spent the past 10 hours in the Liberator's data center, poring over star maps and charts and performing complex calculations. He needed sleep, but sleep would have to wait until after he met with Vader. The shuttle's wings folded upward as it lazed through a MagCon field into the support escort's main hangar. The ship's commander and a dozen of his top officers and black-uniformed non-coms were standing eyes front on the deck as Tarkin descended the ramp. Alongside the group stood a full company of stormtroopers, in addition to Sergeant Crest and the remaining 6 members of Vader's personal detail. "Welcome aboard, Governor Tarkin," the commander said, stepping out of line to greet him. "Good to see you again, Ross. I wish it were under better circumstances." "We'll just have to make them better." Tarkin smiled without amusement. "Where is Lord Vader?" "Starfighter Bay. I'll escort you." The commander turned to dismiss the others, then gestured politely to Tarkin and set off across the deck. It took only moments to reach the starfighter bay where the commander left Tarkin to his business. Tarkin didn't need to look far for Vader's starfighter, as it was the only Eta II among a squadron of V-wings. The absence of color might have struck Tarkin as a dramatic choice had black not been the Dark Lord's preferred color. What's more, many pilots during the war had made an effort to distinguish themselves, so why not Vader now? Vader was standing between the weapons arms of the craft's split prow, tinkering with something, while a silver astromech droid stood by, plugged into a portable